Amen. If we open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 12. And we'll read from verse 9 through verse 11. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one toward another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we humbly, Lord, approach thy throne of mercy, realizing, Father, that you have called for us to love one another with a pure heart, fervently. And Lord, many times we don't understand what love is. But we know there must be a great meaning, a greater meaning than we have understanding, because if we could just get ourselves out of the way, we know that your divine spirit would take over and give us that understanding which we so lack. And so, Father, I just pray this morning that you would help us as we would study these scriptures. Bring forth in them, Father, a manifestation in our life, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let love be without dissimulation. What is dissimulation? That's a big word. And it says, let love be without this big word. So, what is dissimulation? Steve. Okay. Let's look at the context a little bit. Let love be without dissimulation. Ron, what do you think?
I'm not real sure what that means. I would say without hypocrisy, maybe.
Okay. Let me read it from the NIV. It's a little plainer. Love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Then he says, hate what is evil. Cling to that what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Notice we read last week from where we said, be kindly affectioned. The enemy says, be devoted one to another. Now, what does it mean to be devoted to someone or to each other? Patty, what do you think that means? Okay. And Norma? Yeah. To be true to them. To be focused on that person. Like a husband who has a sick wife. You're devoted to that person through sickness or in health. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Next week we're going to look at that. Never be lacking in zeal. I think that's what's happened to the church. The zeal is just kind of gone. And the zeal we had back when we first come to the recognition that God sent a prophet and that there was an end time message for a people. Where is it amongst the church today? I see it overseas, different places. But where is it in America? We're going to get into that next week. Now, for the last 3 weeks, we have spoken from verse 10 where the Apostle Paul said, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. In Romans number 94, we spoke on being kindly affectioned one to another. In Romans 95, we spoke on honoring one another. And last week, number 96, we spoke on brotherly love. Now, This morning we will be speaking on Romans 90, this will be number 97, concerning this sincere love that the Apostle Paul is speaking of here. Now in my fleshly mind, there are probably 1,000 other things that I would rather be speaking on this morning than on the subject of love. I'm just not a gushy type person. Because actually at first thought, I did not associate love with faith, which is revelation. And that is because of what everyone else teaches as to what love is, or rather, what perfect love is. When they speak on the subject of love, it gets so sloppy agape that it makes you just want to vomit sometimes or just cringe. Because it almost sounds like it's coming from a sensual, you know, like these songs of women saying, you know, oh, Jesus. It sounds like they're making love to Jesus. And it's just sloppy agape. But I think that because we're so bombarded with a false understanding of love, we avoid the subject head on. We see the sincere love of God is this. As we said, the word sincere is truthful. It means honest. It means genuine. And if we're going to have sincere love, we're going to have a genuine love, a love which is genuine. So instead of avoiding the subject, I must be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And since I've committed to God to take these verses one by one, and not to get ahead of His Spirit's leading, even though my first love is to be teaching doctrine, and actually I was going to be speaking on lacking zeal, I had my notes prepared for it, but the Holy Spirit led us into a different direction this morning. But I love to speak on doctrine because it's so inspirational. It's so life-giving. It just floods your soul. It takes over your mind. You forget everything else when you're looking at doctrine. And you focus on the one who is the doctrine. But I already know the way of the Holy Spirit and how He moves in this ministry. And in a way that seemed to open up so much understanding through such simplicity. Sometimes we're looking at something and before we know it, the Holy Spirit shows us things so wonderful and sublime that it's as though we're just sojourning through this great book and coming upon so many wonderful thoughts that God has wanted us to know. And I've been laying there, but because in the past we were indoctrinated into thinking thoughts which weren't God's thoughts, we would just by a simple reading would pass those things through. But under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, when you begin to look at those things and the Holy Spirit begins to drop those things down, you get a fresh understanding of what it's all about. And in just being obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we've discovered so many blessed things, even in areas that we haven't intentionally looked into. Now, as we began this series in the book of Romans several years ago, we began to look into the wonderful insights that God was bringing forth, and we had a whole series on the wrath of God and the judgments that are coming and the vials, and that opened up to the doctrine of twins, and that then many thoughts came forth as we entered through this study of who is this Melchizedek, and we spent 2 years there. And now in returning back to Romans, we picked up at chapter 12, it seems we've had mostly pastoral messages dealing with love, dealing with attitude, dealing with entering into an atmosphere, creating an atmosphere that's conducive for a body change. And that is where we are again this morning. Now in examining verse 9, we found the Apostle Paul tell us, and I'll read it from the NIV, he said, love must be sincere. Now the word sincere does not mean that we should put on the dog. It's not a presentation. No, the love is sincere. It's not, you know, becoming sweet and engaging or beguiling. But the word sincere means genuine and straightforward. You know, we have an understanding that love is corrective. Well, that's not so beguiling, is it? How many of you all enjoy being corrected? I don't. I mean, I do. I like the aftermath of it. But I don't like getting corrected. None of you do. And yet, you can't have love without having corrected. Brother Brown said, it's always corrective. Therefore, love is not a feeling. Get it out of your head once and for all. It's not an emotion. Get it out of your head once and for all. Just wipe it away. It's not engaging. It's not sweet. It's not beguiling. But it simply, sincerity simply means genuine and straightforward. Therefore, he's telling us that our love must be genuine and straightforward. In his next few words, as Paul goes on to say, he says, he's talking about love now. He says, "Let love must be sincere. Love must be sincere." And then he says, "Hate what is evil." And you can't have love without having hate. You can't have righteousness without there being an unrighteousness. You can't have truth without there being an error. And so in order to understand this love, we have to understand this hate. He said, hate what is evil. Cling to that which is good. And then he says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honor one another above yourselves. Now the last few weeks we've covered this honoring others above self and loving one another with brotherly love. But let's stop for just a moment this morning and examine this sincere love. He says love must be sincere. Not should be, but must be. Love must be sincere. And then he tells us what sincere love is. He says it hates evil and clings or holds on to like glue to those things which are good. How many people say they love God? How many people do you know that don't say they love God? So all the world that claims that they love God and still love evil, do they really love God? Because if he says that you have love, you will hate evil. You will abhor evil. Now everybody wants to talk about a love that is tolerant. Everyone is into this tolerance, you know, these days. It's kind of the politically correct thing to do is to be tolerant. Well, what does the word tolerant mean? Okay. Lenient. Anybody want to build on that a little bit? Huh? Accepting, lenient? Sure. Well, it gets to be liberal, doesn't it? It's beyond patience. It's being patient, but it's actually opening yourself up that anything goes. You see, God is not a tolerant God. He's not a tolerant God. He's a patient God, but he's not tolerant. Because tolerance goes beyond patience. Tolerance goes to the place of accepting what you shouldn't accept. You see? Everyone is into tolerance these days, unless it means a tolerance for truth. And then they don't want nothing to do with it. You know what is politically correct today? To be tolerant of everything. Homosexuality, alternative lifestyles, infidelity, what do they call it? Child pornography. Oh, we must be tolerant of all these things, they say. And everyone is tolerant, and yet it is politically correct these days to be tolerant of everything except what? True Christianity. That seems to be the only thing that is politically okay to bash. not just in this country, but in many countries throughout the world. It's okay to bash Christianity, which is true love, because it's based on God's love, for God is love. And for them to speak of loving as being tolerant is so far from the truth. Because how can you love what God hates if God is love? If God is love, then our love should be a reflection of who? God. Because how can you love what God hates? And if our love is a reflection of God who is love, then perfect love is a perfect God. And if we do not even understand who God is, then how could we ever understand love? If we don't have God, how can we have love? Then when the world talks about love, they don't know what they're talking about. It's like me saying, well, the sky is green and the grass is blue. Even some of those universities, you know, Steve mentioned the other night, they got blue grass on the football field. I suppose you want to say grass is blue and sky is green and twist everything up. The Bible says, you know, there's coming a day when they'll say that right is wrong and wrong is right. God is love. And yet God is what? In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was God. And the Word is God. Therefore, if God is love and God is the Word, then you can't have love without having the Word, who is God. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you turn with me, in reading from verse 8, charity, love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, in Brother Ram's earlier ministry, he said, and notice, there's only one thing perfect, and that is love. He went on to say, he said, you know why God is blessed by ministry and why the people are responsive to my ministry? He said, it isn't because I'm a great preacher. He said, no, it isn't because of what I teach, because it actually, many things I teach offends people. But he said, I have such a love in my heart for people. And they understand that I have a love, because his love was sincere. It must be sincere. The angel said, you're not sincere enough. So Brother Branham had a sincere love. And that's what attracted the people. Now he says, love never fails. So we're going to look at this love that can't fail. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, from Hebrews chapter 5, Brother Branham said, and when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. See, that's perfect. And what is perfect? Love. And what is love? God. So when that which is perfect is come, then that which is God is come, then everything else will be put aside. Now, Brother Brown taught us that what is perfect is the Word, because God is the Word. From Questions and Answers in 1964, he said, 1 Corinthians 13 says this, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. So all these little things of jumping up and down like a kid, trying to talk in tongues and all these other things, when that which is perfect, and we do have today by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the Word with divine vindication, then that which is in part is done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. Amen. I go to preaching and then don't get to these things. Now, so he's letting us know that the perfect interpretation of the Word with divine vindication. Jesus said, if you don't believe me, believe the works. Believe the divine vindication. and Jesus was the reflection of God, the very outraying of God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus. And He said, if you don't believe me, I'm love, I have arrived, then believe the vindication. And the world wants nothing to do with this love
that we're talking about this morning. Because they want
nothing to do with God, and He is love, and He is the Word. Now, Jesus tells us the reason why the world so hates you. In John 15, verse 17, He says, these things I command you, that you love one another. First of all, we see Jesus tell us that we should love one another. Not should, but He says, these things I command you. So, we are dealing with a command, and not just a nice thought. Not just, you know, it would be nice if everybody loved each other. How many times have you thought that? Wouldn't it be nice if everybody just loved each other? Jesus said, I command, these things I command you, that you love one another. Now look, love goes a lot
further than like. You can actually not like a person and still love them.
And you don't have to like a person,
but you're commanded to love the person.
And remember, there's faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And love is an outward expression of what? Faith. And we're going to find out that faith and love are the same thing. Brother Bram said, you know the reason why people don't get healed? He said they lack a love for God. Because if you don't love Him, then you don't trust Him. If you love Him, you'll trust Him. And that brings faith. You see? And that's where we're getting to this morning. John says, these things I command you, that you love one another. First of all, as I said, we see Jesus tell us that not that we should love, but I command you, He says. So we're dealing with a command, not just a nice thought. But notice, immediately, He lets us know the world will hate us. He tells us to love each other, but He lets us know the world's going to hate you. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. How do you expect to have the world love you if you're not of them? Why do you think the world loves Clinton? Oh, they do. They identify with him. Because the world is a big, whoremongering, fornicating, adulterating people. And they love it when they got a leader who does the same. He tells us the world hates you because you are the chosen of the Lord. In John, 1 John 3 and verse 13, he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We're different from the world. In other words, he's telling us that to hate is the easy way out. It seems that the world so hates what is good, and since there is so little that is good, the world is having a heyday in hating. You can't but read the papers today, or listen to the radio, or hear some ad for some movie, but what it deals with somebody hating somebody. The world is filled with hate and violence, and it's a strange and peculiar thing for brethren to be loving one another with godly love. That's what's strange. That's what's peculiar. He said you're a peculiar people. John continues. He says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But, you know, he said we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We can't even sometimes come to church for the brethren. You know? Or to help one another when somebody's sick or hurting. We can't even get up out of bed sometimes to go help somebody. And yet he said we ought to be laying down our lives for somebody. Now I challenge you. If you can't, you know, pour a cup of coffee or pour a cup of water in his name to give to somebody, you're not going to be willing to give your life for that person either. But let's put it around, let's just turn around a little bit. How many of you parents haven't given your whole life for your kids? Because if you haven't, you're not much of a parent. But I know you have. You work like slaves, you work like dogs, you get up, you go to work, you pay the bills, you make sure that your kids have what they have need of. Why do you do that? Because you hate little Junior? Because you love him. Right? Brother Vail went to Brother Branham and said, "Would you pray for me because I don't have love?" Brother Branham said, "You do have love, Brother Vail." Brother Vail said, "I don't understand." Brother Branham said, "Look, Lee," he said, "do you do things not because you feel like it, but because you know it's right for people?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's love. You do what is right. That's love. You love your children, so what do? You get up at hours, strange hours. You work long hours. You work for people you don't like to work for. You work with people you don't like to work with. You work in situations. You put yourself as a slave almost." Why? Because of love. Because you love your kids. You love your family. And you want the best for them. I hope we can see a little bit better what love is. Because it says, "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." You know, the parent that has, and the kids go, and you know, the parents got nice clothes, nice car, nice things, and then they got their kids scrubbing floor and don't give them any clothes to wear, and you know, give them a few rags to wear. That parent doesn't love that child. And that's exactly what he's saying here. When you see there's a need and you don't put out for that need, he says there's no love there. He says when you see your brother has need, that's the brethren. "So we see that hatred for the brother shows where its source come from," he says. "It came from Cain. And why did Cain hate Abel? Because God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not his own." So where does hate come from? Is it just an emotion? Is it just because he didn't get his way? Or does it go beyond that? Does it go to revelation? Now think about these things, because you can't have love without having a true understanding of God. True love, I'm talking about. And you can't have healing unless you have love for God. Because if you have a love for God, you have a confidence in God. You have a trust in God that He so loves you. And that He's not going to let you have to go through that affliction. Or if you do go through that affliction, as Hattie Wright's sister, God at least took the pain from her so she could bear it. He said He wouldn't give you anything you couldn't bear. And hates the other. You see, Cain hated Abel because God accepted Abel's revelation, which was given in the form of a sacrifice. And so he killed his brother for it. The hatred that we see so abounding in the world today was prophesied to come by Jesus Christ Himself. The disciples asked Jesus, "What will be the signs of the end of the world?" And He answered that there would be two major signs. The first would be deception on the rise, and the second would be hatred between peoples. These would be the chief signs, the two chief signs. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, and reading from verse 3, "And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy parousia, thy presence, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, I am anointed, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquake in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Well, why does nation rise against nation? Hatred. Why does kingdom against kingdom? Hatred. And they shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And that's what we need to warn ourselves against. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And the gospel is being preached to all nations. Now, notice then the two main things is hatred and deception. Now notice he tells us, he that shall endure to the end are the ones that shall be saved. And that is our warning that I wish to set forth this morning. Now if you turn with me to Luke chapter 6 and verse 22, he says, blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast you out, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice you in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. So when men put you off from their company, he said you should be leaping for joy. For so they did to your fathers, the prophets. In Luke 6 and verse 26, he says, woe unto you when men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, give also the other cheek. And him that taketh away the cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do also you to them. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank you have? What thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be you therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now the world uses this scripture here to bless their tolerance, to push their tolerance. They say, well, we shouldn't judge, lest we be judged. And yet he says, judge righteous judgment. But now let's look at this love. In fact, let's look at this perfect love. Because Brother Branham said that you will never enter into that place without perfect love. Oh, I've heard messages across the country. Preacher after preacher after preacher saying you've got to have that perfect love. And so they say, Lord, bless you, my brother. Aren't we so sweet? And Brother Brown didn't say perfect sweetness will get you there. He said perfect love will get you there. And so we've got to understand what love is. From the rejected king, Brother Brown said, oh, my precious friends, my beloved, my darlings of the gospel, my begotten children unto God, listen to me, your pastor. I wish there was some way that I could explain it to you, but there's no words. I couldn't find it. It's not found anywhere, but just beyond this last breath is the most glorious thing that you ever... There is no way to explain it. There's no way. I just can't do it. But whatever you do, friends, lay aside everything else until you get perfect love. Get to a spot that you can love everybody, every enemy, everything else. That one visit there to me has made me a different man. I can never, never, never be the same Brother Branham that I was. So what is this perfect love? Because he said, get it. You've got to have it to get there. From the adoption. He said, thus saith the Lord, it'll take perfect love to put you into that place, for that's all that there was there. No matter how many, how much religious demonstration, how many good deeds that you've done, or whether you've done, that won't count nothing on that day. I don't care how generous you are, how giving you are, how much you do for people, that won't count a lick. He says it'll take perfect love. So whatever you do, you lay aside everything else until you are just so filled with the love of God till you can love those who hate you. I'm just, as I said this morning, I was made, my whole makeup is grace. A lot of people say, now you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Yeah, you do something for me and I'll do something for you. That's not grace. Grace is, if your back is itching, I'll scratch it anyhow, whether you scratch mine or not. You hear that, girls? All right. He says, you slap me on the face and I'll say, my back needs itching. It needs scratching. I'll scratch it, see? That's it. Do something. I don't believe in works. I believe that works is love. Works is the manifestation that grace has taken place. I don't live true to my wife because I believe she'd divorce me if I didn't. I live true to her because I love her. Now, from the rejected king, Brother Brown said, and I heard a voice then that spoke to me that was in the room that said, this is what you preached was the Holy Ghost. This is perfect love, and nothing can enter here without it. I am more determined than ever in my life that it takes perfect love to enter there. There was no jealousy. There was no tiredness. There was no death. No sickness could never in there. Mortality could never make you old. They could not cry. It was just joy. Oh, my precious brother. And you know, I'll admit that I never really understood what Brother Brown was saying here. I didn't. When he said that you've got to have this perfect love to enter into there. I never really understood what this love is. Is it an emotion, Brother Branham? Or is it just the dulling of our senses when somebody says something spiteful, it just rolls off our back like water off a duck? Does it have to do with the senses? Does it have to do with this sloppy agape? Does it have to do with tolerance? He said, love those that hate you, so we have to be tolerant of those. Is that what he's saying? No, I don't believe that's what he's saying. He's not saying be tolerant of their hate. He's not saying be tolerant of their hate for the word. So what is it that he's telling us? What is there about this love that we've got to have? From the rejected king, he said, I heard a voice then that spake to me that was in the room. This is what you have preached was the Holy Ghost. This is perfect love, and nothing can enter here without it. Now, let me read that again. This is what you preached was the Holy Ghost. It's the word we're talking about. This is perfect love, and nothing here can enter without it. It takes perfect love to enter there. Now, we know that he taught us that that which is perfect is the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication. And that which is perfect is come. And we know that the Apostle John taught us that God is love. So we must never, ever think of love in terms of our human way of expression. We must think of it in terms of God's definition. God is love. God is the Word. We read in the Gospel of John that men are capable of loving, but notice what they love in John 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. And they could, hey, they could love with a perfect love. They could love darkness. Did he say, I hate thee with a perfect hate? They could have a perfect love for darkness, and will that get them in there? They've got perfect love. Huh? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's look at 1 John 2 and verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You don't get stumbled when somebody does something that might set you off. So what is there about this love that you're not going to get stumbled? Come on. Is it your love for that person? Or is it your love for God? So what is there about this love? Is it your devotion to God? Look, the Pharisees put Jesus to death. The very one that they claimed to be worshiping. Jesus said, the very one, he said, you claim to worship. He said, and you try to kill me. The very one you claim to worship. So is love devotion? No, it's not. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You don't get stumbled. Because there's something about love which goes beyond emotion, which goes beyond the incident. Remember, love covers a multitude of sins. Right? But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So, if you hate your brother, it's because you don't walk in the light. He that hateth his brother walketh in darkness. You see, they don't have an understanding. And I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, in order to better understand this, we must know what this love is, because even God hated Esau, but he loved Jacob. Therefore, what is the Apostle John trying to tell us when he says, he that hateth his brother? Well, wasn't Esau the brother of Jacob? Didn't God hate Esau and he loved Jacob? Now, come on. Does this mean what you think it means, or does it have something beyond what you think? He says you're only capable of hating if you don't understand. But if you have true understanding, full understanding, you can't hate. Now, 1 John 4 and verse 17, it says, herein is our love made perfect. Okay, so we want this perfect love. How is our love made perfect? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, what is he? He is what? He is the Word. As he is the Word, so are you the Word. Now, herein is our love made perfect. You want perfect love? You've got to come the way he says you've got to come. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because of our perfect love. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Herein is our love made perfect. It casts out fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say that I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loved God, love his brother also. Now, I want to get back to this principle, because this is the whole crux of what I'm bringing out here. Perfect love is perfect faith. You see, if you love God, then you believe him. You trust him. If a wife loves her husband, and he's got to go on a trip, missionary trip, whatever it is, like Brother Branham said, his wife packed him up. He says, I don't keep myself clean because I'm afraid she'd divorce me. I keep myself clean because I love her. And she trusts me that I will go and serve the Lord because she loves me. So So what's the motivating factor? It's love. And what does it produce? Faith in each other. If you have faith in each other, you have love. Now, what John is telling us here is that if we truly have perfect love, then we cannot fear, because perfect love casts out fear. It is a fear that causes men to war with one another. It is fear that causes men to be uncertain with one another. The fear of uncertainty causes people to do things in self-defense with one another. And that is what causes strife. That's what causes ill treatment toward one another. It's fear. But he says, perfect love casts all that away. Herein is our love made perfect. Herein is perfect love. Because there is no fear in love. After Brother Brown was called up to the other side, he said, Lee, he said, I have no fear any longer. Why? Because he had a perfect understanding of what it was all about. He had a perfect understanding of God's love for him. You see, if you truly love God, truly love Him, then you're going to trust Him. If He has you walk to the edge of that plank and says, step off, Abraham, slay your son, Abraham's going to say, oh, that's fine, God, I'll slay him, but I know that You gave me a promise. Therefore, You'll raise him from the dead. And isn't that what Paul said? He said, he received him as one being from the dead. I didn't have him to begin with. If you want me to slay him, God, I know You'll raise him up, because You made me this promise that my seed would be as the sands of the sea, sands of the shore, stars of the sky. Therefore, God, I could slay him every day of my life. And I know You'll still raise him up. You see, Abraham had perfect love. And he entered into that place. Let me read on. Brother Bram said, from personal experience with God, he said, this loving Him. He said, oh, we say we have faith. We have love. But if we had love, we'd have faith. For perfect love casteth out all fear. And when fear is gone, faith is perfect. When fear is gone, faith is perfect. What hinders your faith? Fear. Why do you have fear? Because you don't have perfect love. So love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. That's the number one thing Jesus said. And then love one another. Because if you love God, you trust Him, you believe Him. From questions and answers, Brother Brown said, let me read you something. How about Babylon, when God sent Joshua over across there and he utterly destroyed little babies, children, everything. And if you let one thing live, he wiped everything out. Little Philistine babies, he just destroyed them. God commanded him. And if he didn't do it, it was his own life. I'm going to fix it up here in just a few minutes. God is love, perfect love. But you don't know what love is. That's why people today, they don't know what faith is. God is love. He has to be in love. He's sovereign to His Word, and He has to keep His Word, and He has to love you, and if He loves you, He's got to protect you. So what are you worried about? Oh, if I can just maybe work Sunday so that I can meet the bills. No. God's obligated to protect you. You honor God, He'll honor you. You see? From fellowship. Now we have great things that we can do in the realm of faith. Faith works great things for us. And if you, brethren, here getting your... And you can't have faith till you have love. That's just all that there is to it. Perfect love casts out all fear. And as long as you got fear, you can't have faith. So you've got to have love first. It drives all fear out. And then faith comes in, takes the place of fear. So when you have that, you're coming right along.
You see? Faith takes the place of fear. But you got to have love first. From Ephesian church age, he said,
Ephesus means,
the very name Ephesus means let go,
relax, backslidden,
called by God, the backslidden church. God acknowledged first their works, their labor, and their patience. God rebuked their leaving their first love for backsliding and for no longer bearing light. Ephesus was not a deceived church. It failed itself by not continuing in perfect love. The summary of Ephesus' fruits, without love, it led to apostasy. You see? Because why? Because if you have love, it leads to faith, which is revelation. You see? So without love, it leads to apostasy, which is false revelation, false word. You see what I'm driving at this morning? God says, prove your love to me. How do you do that? By holding to His word. She said, if you love me, you'll what? Keep my word, my commandments. You see? From explaining healing in Jairus, he said, electricity will light up if you work according to the law of electricity. Is that right? If you had an artesian well on this side of the hill, putting out thousands of gallons of water per minute, and over on that side of the hill, you've got a crop burning up, needing that water. No matter how much you scream to the water, go up on the hill and water that crop, it'll never do it. But if you work according to the way of gravity and run that water over on the hill, it'll water the crop. Is that right? But you've got to work according to the law of gravitation. Well, now, if God is here, all in this building right now, do you believe that? Well, we're all conscience. You can't get it all in one night, you see. You're conscious that God is here. Now, the only thing that we can do is work according to the law of God for our healing. Is that right? What is the law of God? His love. Perfect love casts out fear. Casts out all fear. Love and faith is the same thing. See? Love, perfect love, casts out all fear, which gives faith. And from the way to fellowship, Brother Brad said, I'd rather have a church, listen just a moment, I would rather have a church that knows nothing about any spiritual gift than just be so in love with each other and with Christ. I'd rather have that than every spiritual gift operating in the church. Now, that might sound hard in a Pentecostal group, but I'd rather have it. Where there is gifts, they'll fail. Where there is gifts, they'll bring confusion. Where there is gifts, they can be questioned. But where there is love, it is perfect. That's right. And if you had perfect love, you'll have perfect gifts. That's right. So work first with love. That brings fellowship, and fellowship brings gifts. From the message, love, he said, now, perfect love casts out fear, and that's the reason people won't take God at His word for healing. They don't love Him well enough. I thought these people love God. He said, if they did, they trust Him. See, I really love my wife, but what's the old thing they did in the ancient days? They put on a chastity belt. It was a steel girder that came around the waist like this and went through the waist, and they had locks on it because they really loved their wife. If they love their wife, they trust them. You see, they loved them with a man's love, like a possession. This is my possession type of thing. But perfect love is trusting. And like Brother Brown said, that's the reason people won't take God at His word for healing. They don't love Him well enough. Because you're scared, He won't keep His word. Because you're scared, God won't keep His word. You don't get your healing. Because you don't love Him well enough to believe Him. Now think about that in marriage. Do you love your wife enough to believe her? Do you love your husband enough to believe him? Well, he says, that's the reason people won't take God at His word for healing. They don't love Him well enough because you're scared that He won't keep His word. That's the reason that people fear somebody else that will say something against them, is that if they receive the Holy Spirit, they're afraid somebody will talk and make fun of them. But when love comes in, you don't care. You see how you can love your enemy? Because you know your position in Christ. You know His love for you because He first loved you. And you love Him. And you don't care. That's why you can love them. That's why you can look at the little things and say, they didn't mean it. I know they love me. And I love them. They didn't mean that. When a little child is fussing and stewing, do you get all mad? I'll never talk to her again. I don't talk to it again. Huh? Then why does age make any difference? You see, you love that child. You don't look at the fussing and stewing as something, oh, it's personally, it's vindictive, it's hatred. It's just, there's something going on. Maybe the child got a stomach ache. Maybe there's something wrong. I remember my little sister kept crying. I didn't know why, so I checked her diaper and found my brother had pinned her diaper through her skin. No wonder the kid's crying. From perfect faith, Brother Ralph said, and when we were sinners, alienated without God, in the world, in that muck of mud, as I talked about this morning, God came to us. God sought you. You never sought God. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first. And God came down in that muck, what you were, and sought you out and brought you out. That ought to create a perfect love. Look what you was and look what you are. Now what did that? Somebody that loved you. Can't you have faith in what He promised you then? Real genuine love will create a confidence in His Word. I want you to write that down. Real genuine love will create a confidence in His Word. He caught me when I was nothing. I'm still nothing, but I'm in His hand, see? He caught me, and He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when you was unlovable, and He changed you. From the message, Perseverant, Brother Brown said, faith and love is corrective, you see? It always corrects. And from perfect faith, he said, faith and love is relations. Because you can't have faith unless you've got love. Because your faith is in God, who is the very essence of love. Faith and love works together. So when we're talking about perfect faith, John says the only way you can get perfect faith is that love casts out, or perfect fear, perfect love, he says, you've got to cast out fear. Perfect love casts out fear, and it brings faith. These people had a revelation. Notice Brother Branham said, I was standing there. There was nothing but love in that place. And I said, we're standing here. Where's Jesus? They said, He's up there. And he said, we're waiting to be judged. And he said, well, Paul, is Paul here? They said, yeah. He said, well, I preached only what Paul preached. And they said, we're counting on that, Brother Branham. So what was it those people had? Was it an emotion we call love? No. It was their confidence. Brother Branham said, love is confidence. They had confidence in Brother Branham that the words that he spoke were the same words Paul spoke. That's your perfect love. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank You, Lord, because when we have confidence, and yet love is beyond confidence, but that's one of His attributes. How can we love someone who hates us? We have a perfect confidence that God loves us. We have perfect confidence in who we are. Sticks and stones, as the old expression goes, will break my bones, but names could never hurt me. Father, we know that Jesus said the world will hate us, but He said, you should be leaping for joy because they do. So, Father, help us to love what you love and to hate what you hate. Help us to hate evil and to cling to that what is good. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Like the woman at the well,
I was sinking. From things have need of things that satisfy. And yet when the Lord came by, she sang another tune, you know. She was sinking in sin. She said, you know, it's not right for you as a Jew to be speaking to us Samaritans. And he said, well, go get your husband. She said, I have none. He said, that's right. But the one you have now is not yours, and you've had six others. She said, I perceive that you're a prophet. So when Messiah comes, he'll tell us those things. He said, I'm he. She dropped everything she was doing. She ran in the city. She told, here's a man that can tell me the secrets of my heart. That ought to give confidence. Only perfect love will be in that place. Only perfect confidence in the Word of God. Amen. If you have the musicians come forward and Second Timothy 1 and verse 12, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. One more time, and before we do, I just want to mention Wednesday we will have a work detail here. We'll have prayer, and then we'll go to work in just maybe an hour and a half. But if you could come, please come, and we have a lot of things to clean up and to do.
I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. Which I have committed.